What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Jamon Bolton, and it's another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. Let me jump right into it. Since I last been on, you know, the NBA playoffs have kind of been in full swing, and we got some stuff to talk about it, man, so I don't need to hold back. Let's start with this New Orleans series, man. You know, they swept Portland off, and I don't think anybody saw that coming. It's kind of weird. As I was looking at everything, I saw that 22 experts picked the Blazers to win the series. Nobody gave the Pelicans any credit. You know, I didn't think they'd get swept or anything like that. I thought it'd be a six-game series. And real, you know, real rough six games. Being that Portland looks so good during the season, Dame Lillard playing the way he plays, CJ McCollum playing the way he plays, you know, they're kind of unstoppable. But then they got to the playoffs, and, you know, it started off with New Orleans still in game one, and it was like, okay, AD had the game of his career, game of his life, first playoff win, so forth and so forth. And game two happened. And then they got home, and it was just like, you know what? They up 3-0, they're going to finish it, and that's exactly what they did. You know, I wasn't a believer, but now I'm a believer. They look really good. So, you know, they dominate this entire series, and AD really showed who he is. He showed everybody. Like, we know he's a superstar, but, I mean, it's different levels in which you take your game. You know, he's been kind of playing on a different level ever since DeMarcus Cousins went down a little bit earlier this year. And it's amazing to see the guy kind of flourish the way he has. Like, they both mesh well together, but by himself, he's like, look, I can carry a team. Just get me some decent pieces around, and I can do it. But he looked great. Let me just say that. He looked really, really, really good. And you know, they came and they dominated the entire series. AD, again, like I said, he showed who he really was. And he should get more respect. So I think he should kind of be considered more for MVPs down the line. You just don't kind of make him an afterthought. You know, Jrue Holiday's a bad boy. He showed out. Rondo is a typical Rondo, playoff Rondo. You know, we got playoff P. We got playoff Rondo, too. You know, Rondo is just unstoppable, man. He's good. I mean, his IQ is off the charts. A guy that's that intelligent on the basketball court is a scary guy, man. He's really, really, really good. So, you know, I think you got somebody like that, and you got that backcourt going. You got AD playing the way he's playing. You got all the other pieces around him. It's just really crazy, man. So just imagine how scared they'd be if DeMarcus Cousins never got hurt. You know, I'm sure they would have been able to take it up another level, but just to see Anthony Davis playing the way he's playing, to see Jrue Holiday playing the way he's playing, I mean, he's kind of going off on an all-star backcourt. You know, 41 in the clinch. I mean, this guy is good. They're really, really good. So they look good. I mean, They play Golden State next, so that's going to be interesting. I'm sure their confidence is sky high, and they're going to make the most of it. But I'm looking forward to that. Speaking of the Pelicans, before I get off of them, it's been reported by Bleacher Report. You know, it was with Zach Lowe, ESPN. He was talking about it yesterday. They've been thinking about offering DeMarcus Cousins a two-year, two-three-year deal, less than the max. I know it's because of his Achilles injury, but I'm going to say this. Don't be stupid. Do not be stupid. I mean, you better find a way to get that man that money. You have to throw the bank at him and let him tell you no because he wants to go elsewhere. I would not take a chance and let this dude slip through my fingertips because if you lose a guy like him, you're kind of screwed. I mean, he's a big, big piece. I mean, Anthony Davis has shown that he can lead the team. He can do what he needs to do, and he's a consummate leader. If you surround him with a guy like Jrue Holiday, you know, you give him Mirotic, you give him, you know, you bring Rondo back and you get those pieces around him, they're a pretty damn good team. I mean, you know, they obviously need another piece or two, but you get that guy. As Larry Brown once said, when Larry Brown was coaching, Larry Brown said, if you give me Anthony Davis, I can win 50 games. So you think about that. Like, Anthony Davis is a guy that can carry you to 50 wins. Just get him the extra pieces, and they can win a little bit more. So you see what it's like. And if you can keep Boogie and AD together, then they're going to be something really special. But New Orleans needs to really, really come up with that money. I know, again, the injury is really scary. It's an Achilles. Nobody comes back from that fast, and it's not like it's a knee injury now. They really haven't advanced. Medicine hasn't advanced that quick where your Achilles is kind of getting healed up quick like ACLs are. But I wouldn't play stupid if I were them. I would really, really – I'd really get the ball going. I'd make sure that dude gets all his money. I'd make sure he's taken care of because, again, if you offer him a 2-3-year deal, don't tell him what the Lakers are probably trying to throw at him. Just don't tell him all these other teams that are under the cap will throw at him. You know, at this point in time, a lot of guys are like, look, I want a ring, man, but I definitely want to make that money. So we'll see how that goes. You know, moving on to Houston, they're just dominating Minnesota. Minnesota, they just don't have enough to keep up with them. You know, Rockets are too powerful. Minnesota had a chance in game one. Carl Anthony Towns really didn't play as well as he could have. Let's say if he had a Carl Anthony Towns type game, they may have been able to steal one game. They might have been 2-2 right now, but right now we're 3-1. You know, we're at 3-1. You know, the Timberwolves just look like they're out of it. So I think tonight's going to be over with for them. They're going to be home a little early. But, it is what it is. You know, they had an opportunity to keep up. They didn't. You know, for me personally, though, with this series, though, just refreshing to see D. Rose play with some oomph. You know, I don't know if he'll ever be a star again in the league, but he's definitely showing that he's not done. He should be re-signed somewhere. I don't know if Minnesota want to re-sign him, but he's definitely playing with a little bit of pop and looks a little explosive. And I know it may come and go, and in different shifts, but he's pretty good still. I like him still. People kind of rid him off, and he sucks. He's this, he's that. Look, I for one, if you're one of the guys that got a roster spot in the NBA, you don't suck. That's the problem with a lot of those critics. We kind of, oh, he sucks. No, he doesn't suck, but we got spoiled. A guy comes into the league, his third year, he's the MVP, 21, you know, doing what he did, 25 points, 6'1", 6'2", jumping out the gym, just as fast as he was. I mean, before his injury, everybody considered him to be the most athletic point guard, you know, we've ever seen in the NBA. You know, now that honor probably belongs to Russell Westbrook. But before that, let's not forget, Derrick Rose is something special. And, you know, for me, looking at the series, I know they're off. And I know he hasn't been out there scoring 30 a game. But look, it's great to see him out there. It's great to see him out there getting some run. It's good to see him out there with his legs under him. And he's looking good. He's looking confident. And I get it. You know, he may not ever be who he once was. But I'm happy for it. And it's just me. And this is my show, so I can say that. You know, so... But he definitely belongs back in the league. He should definitely be re-signed somewhere. And I hope somebody definitely gives him a chance and he's not written off because of his past and his, you know, his mental lapses and so forth. But moving on from there, let's talk about Utah dominated OKC. This is something that I didn't see coming. You know, it's a few factors that go along with this. Billy Donovan is just being outcoached by Quinn Snyder. Plain and simple. I just think Quinn Snyder has got his guys playing a little bit harder. Billy Donovan, for what it's worth, I like Billy Donovan. I've always loved him, always been a big fan of him. And when he's at Florida, you know, just I love the guy. He's awesome, really, really awesome. But he's not an NBA coach. I mean, you know, he took the chance. He jumped at it because, I mean, who wouldn't jump at the chance of coaching Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook? So I would have loved to have seen him with maybe 2 years with KD and Russ. That first year, they came so close. And they had Golden State on the ropes, and they just couldn't finish out after having a 3-1 lead. So although the players play, the coaches have to know how to make adjustments. And anybody that knows about the game, you'll definitely know this. There have been coaches that have had the same team add a piece or two here. And, you know, they've made a big difference from 1 year to the next. You know, if you look at Doug Collins or Phil Jackson, I don't know if Doug Collins would have been able to get over the hump. But for some reason, Phil had the same team, and they were able to make it over the hump. Del Harris and Phil Jackson, again, go back to Phil. Del Harris with that Lakers team, it was a few pieces added, but the pieces that were added weren't like a Kobe Shaq impact type of player. You know, Del Harris, you win in 60-some-odd games, and you get into the playoffs, and you really just can't, you know, you can't adjust and make the proper adjustments. So this is kind of what happens. And, you know, for me, Donovan's getting out coach. Quinn Snyder's been amazing. You know, Donovan Mitchell stepping up even more shows that he's not scared. I mean, it's got to be a lot for a rookie to play against a guy of Russ's caliber. Russell Westbrook isn't a walk in the park. The dude's aggressive. He's overly aggressive on the court, which is great. The dude plays all out, gives you his all, which is why he's respected the way he's respected, which is why he's averaged a triple-double the last two seasons. So, but Mitchell stepping up is great. Ricky Rubio snagging a triple-double in game three speaks volumes. Again, give him credit. You know, I remember when he got drafted, he stayed overseas for 2 years. Everybody's, oh, why would you waste a pick? Listen, him or Johnny Flynn, I think they made the right decision. They knew what they were doing. You know, Johnny Flynn was what you want to call a franchise-changing point guard. He wasn't. Ricky Rubio played well in the Olympics when he was a teenager against these grown men. And granted, he wasn't Pistol Pete. He had flashes. He played flashy. So, of course, the comparisons are always inevitable. Just like a guy that goes to North Carolina and he jumps high. He may have a bald head a la Vince Carter. He's the next Jordan a la Jerry, you know, Jerry Stackhouse. You know, he jumps high as the second coming of Jordan. Let's let these guys be who they're going to be. You know, but Ricky Rubio coming in and stepping up and having that triple-double. You know, Gobert playing hard. You know, you got Derek Favors playing hard. They got everybody. Ingles is playing hard. Quinn Snyder's got everybody on the same page. They're balling. You know, then you look on the other side, OKC doesn't have it. The big three experiment is a failure to me at least. You know, maybe a couple seasons under with each other, maybe another coach that can kind of get the X's and O's right with them. I don't know what it is. You know, everybody's been talking like, yo, what's up with Carmelo Anthony? Why is he so different? I have no clue what's going on. It's crazy. I don't know if his personal life is kind of spilling in onto the court, because now you got people talking about, yo, Melo's not the same. We get it. Yo, Melo's not a bum. Let me just say this and throw this out there. Melo's not a bum. You know, he definitely didn't decline that much from New York to OKC. But again, when you go somewhere, when you're the first option to being a third option, it's going to be a lot different. You're not going to be the same player that you once was. So people have to get that out of their heads and understand he's not the same guy. But we realize something is different, you know, and it may not just be because he's the third option. It seems like he got a lot on his mind. So, you know, I think at season's end, Paul George is out. I think Melo, he's either going to be traded or he's going to be here for another season, because he'll be a fool to opt out of $28 million because he doesn't warrant that salary in the open market. Like, looking at Stephen A. yesterday, listening to him, he's like, look, Melo's going to get the veteran's minimum. You know, we kind of have this expectation for guys now that they're going to be like LeBron. Nobody's going to be at their peak level still their 15th season. This is something unprecedented, you know? So we're not really – we're expecting him to be the same way. Yeah, he's going to have flashes. I mean, look at Dwayne Wade. I'll get to them in a little bit, but look at him in game two. It was like, yo, he's stepping back and he's doing this, he's doing that. That's going to happen, but it's not going to happen every night. Which lets you know the dude can still play if he wants to play. It's just going to be up to him. But, you know, they're going to shake this team up. You know, Russ is going to be there. You know, he's going to be there. He's going to ride this thing out till the wheels fall off. It's going to kind of be like how Iverson was. Like, they talked about it yesterday on First Take. Iverson is the guy that's going to kind of – he's going to ride it till the wheels fall off. Actually, I'm sorry, not First Take. It was on I think Chris Broussard was on First Things First, and he made reference to it. Like, Iverson wanted to be in Philly no matter what. He wanted to be there. He wanted to stay. He didn't want to go anywhere. And Russell Westbrook seems to be the same kind of guy. Now, he may not win a ring there, so I don't know if at some point in time he'll say, look, I want to leave and try to pursue it, and they'll help him get that opportunity. But I think this is up, man. I think, you know, they're going to have to really start looking at what's next and what's going to be happening for these guys, you know, because, you know, Utah advances to the next round. You know, they got a tough challenge. You know, they've got a tough challenge in the Rockets. So that should be an interesting series. You know, I'm interested to see how well Donovan Mitchell steps up and how well Quinn Snyder can coach against Mike D'Antoni in this kind of situation. So interesting to say the least. You know, Golden State finished off San Antonio last night. You know, Golden State, let's just say they weren't as dominant looking as they were the last 3 years. Obviously, Steph is the engine, you know, the guy that makes everything go. You know, they're effective with Klay and KD and Draymond. That's a great three, you know, big three, if you want to call it that. But, you know, you got Steph on the court, man. It's like the defense gets stressed out a little bit more. It's tough. That guy can shoot from anywhere. His range starts from anywhere. He can break the defense down. And you gotta defend him a different way. But when you got Klay, you got KD, Klay, you got Draymond, this seems a little bit different on the court. You know, they didn't look as dominant as they were the last 3 years in those runs that they've made. But, you know, they finished the Spurs off as they were supposed to. They should have probably swept them. But, you know, San Antonio's got enough grit and enough fight in there to see, you know, how well it goes. And, you know, of course, the Pelicans wait. You know, the Pelicans can make some noise. If the Pelicans are smart and Alvin Gentry knows his team, obviously he was an assistant coach with them for a few years, won a ring with them. He knows the personnel. He'll be able to make some proper adjustments, but we'll definitely have to see how well they adjust. And, you know, will they beat them? I don't think so, but they'll probably push them to 6 or 7. And, if, you know, if Steph's supposed to come back the series, if he doesn't come back and New Orleans can get in there and steal a game, man, it's going to be interesting to see how this works out, man. I'm not ready to say, hey, they're going to run them off the court or whatever. You know, I'd be surprised if they beat him at 5. You know, I'm going to say at least 6 or 7 that this series is going to go. You know, San Antonio, they kind of have a lot up in the air right now. You know, condolences to Pop, who lost his wife, obviously. They've got a lot. This really wasn't a Spurs-like season. You know, Kawhi, he makes a big difference for the team. LaMarcus Aldridge, is, you know, he's there. He stepped his game up and did a lot this year, obviously. He improved a lot. He and Pop are seen, on, you know, eye to eye. You know, Mono might not be back. He's 40 years old. He can still play, but will he want to come back for another year? Tony Parker, what's his situation? You know, you got Kawhi. You got a lot of these young guys. Kyle Anderson may be ready to step into a leading role. I mean, he's 6'9 guard. He's pretty good. You know, Danny Green, he may have seen his best days. Got a lot of these young guys that's ready to step up and play. So maybe we may be shifting towards a new regime with the Spurs and what's happening now. You know, apparently they're going to meet with Kawhi's at the top of their list. So it's like what's going to be going on? Because this is something that they don't really deal with. They don't do controversy. They're not like every other organization where they like the controversy to go. They really keep things in-house. So for me, being an outsider, I'm not a San Antonio fan, but it just seemed really weird this year, you know, just to kind of see everything happen and develop the way it was developing. I just found it to be a little weird. That's just me personally. You know, Kawhi not wanting to come back or just he's not really healed. I get it. Take care of your body because, you know, you got a good, you know, 15 years at the rate he's playing. You know, you never know. You want to get 15 years out your body, but you can tear your knee tomorrow and never be the same and they'll get rid of you. So I get it. Take your time. Do what you do. But just have to be smart about it. So apparently things are going to, you know, things are going to start off with the meeting with him and then they'll go from there. So we might be seeing a new look San Antonio Spurs team next season. It's a little crazy to think this. But, you know, it's been a black cloud over them all season with the Kawhi thing and Pop's wife, her passing away. So just crazy for them. And let's shift it east right now. Let's talk about this Boston series. Boston, they should have finished them off last night. You know, they should have been over 4-1. But, you know, Giannis isn't going to let his team lose. He's amazing. You know, he had that tip in the other day, kind of carried him. You know, you kind of got to watch for Chris Middleton. As Barkley said, he's a professional scorer. You know, he's real good. He doesn't get a lot of props. You know, Malcolm Brogdon making those open shots and doing things that you're supposed to do when you're open and you play in the NBA. You're supposed to make those shots. But definitely looking forward to it. You know, they got Marcus Smart back in Boston. Al Horford just has to keep stepping up. You know, Rozier has to keep playing the way he's been playing. Jay Tatum just has to keep stepping up. And they'll be all right. They'll advance to the next round. And the next round, it won't get any easier because obviously, you know, it gets a little tougher there. They wait. You know, we got the Philadelphia 76ers waiting. That's not going to be no chump series. So We know how that goes. Philly, you know, they eliminated Miami in five, and they are for real, folks. Let's say this. When Stephen A. said that he got them going to the finals, I took that very serious, and I believe in them wholeheartedly. I definitely think that they can make a deep run. I really, really, really think if they play with confidence and know that they have nothing to be afraid of, they will definitely give LeBron and his crew a run for their money if LeBron and them actually make it that far. So, you know, watch out for the 76ers. I know Boston is still, you know, it's Boston's a team that you don't give up on. You know, Brad Stevens still has them balling. He has them going the way they're supposed to go. And it, listen, I never count them out. They don't look lost. They don't look disheveled. They look great. They look great. You know, they have their moments. You know, with Kyrie Irving, they sweep Milwaukee. Let's just call a spade, they sweep Milwaukee. Let's call it what it is. You know, next year they'll be even more powerful. They'll be stronger when you got Kyrie back and he's healthy and you got Gordon Hayward back. But they've been phenomenal considering the circumstances. You know, most teams would have folded, but Brad Stevens keeps them in it every year, which is why he's one of the better coaches we have in the league. So just great to see. But, you know, when this next round, you got Philly waiting for you. And, again, talking about Philly, these young dudes are the truth. You know, Embiid, you know, Oakley. Let's talk about Embiid for a minute. Oakley tweeted something out. That was kind of – a lot of people kind of raised their eyebrow about, and people were like, what? But Oakley said, we haven't seen anything since – like Embiid since Wilt Chamberlain. I don't know if I go that far, but I remember when he got hurt at Kansas, I was like, man, what the hell? Nah, man, you know, it's not worth it. Then you kept seeing – they kept talking about his weight going up and down. Yo, he's for real. I'm sorry. He's the real deal. If this dude is healthy and he stays healthy and he stays at it, and keeps working on his game and doesn't get content, yo, they've got a lot. They've got a bright future. I mean, this may be the times where Philly can add a piece or two. If that, you know what I'm saying? If Markelle Fultz comes around and they got another 20-point scorer, because Ben Simmons isn't going to be the guy that has to get 25. Can he every night? Of course he can, but his game is predicated to be more of an all-around threat. And if, you know, you got that working, and then you got Embiid down low doing what he does and constantly working on his game, and if Markelle Fultz comes around, you know, maybe they re-sign J.J. Redick because, you know, he inked a one-year deal. So hopefully they can re-sign him. They've got a great coach. And the front office seems to be working the right way. And, you know, they got money under the cap. And they can make some moves this offseason. You know, I know it may not happen. But Chris Bouchard said basketball-wise, the best fit is Paul George. And you think about that, you're like, damn, just imagine they could get somebody like Paul George. I mean, I think the fortune of the franchise is going to change quick, man. They're here to stay. So the East may go back to the Philadelphia-Boston days, because who would want to play in Boston? I get it. It's not like the most exciting city to probably live in. But, I mean, from a basketball standpoint, they've got a lot going on. And you may want to be a part of what's going on up there. So I like that a lot. But finally rounding off, let's talk about Indiana and Cleveland. Indiana's giving them a lot of problems that they weren't expecting. I didn't expect Indiana to kind of be as tough as they were. I expected Cleveland to come in and do, you know, maybe struggle a few games. But I expected them to beat them, you know, four or five games. But Oladipo is playing strong. Lance Stevenson is doing what Lance Stevenson does, being annoying as hell. But, you know, they're playing tough. And if they had played them, they'd have played their cards right, they'd be up 3-1 right now. But I'll always say this to people, man. LeBron's a dangerous dude. You know, he's going to go off the next couple of games, and it's never over till it's over. LeBron has that Tom Brady effect. That's what all great athletes have. It's never over till the clock is off. It's almost like the guys in the 80s. When the Celtics and the Lakers played, I was always told from my pops or older dudes that I knew, Larry Bird literally looked like he could make every shot that he took. And, you know, I granted, Steph's the best shooter we've seen, but a lot of people would tell you Larry Bird had that same effect, where it's like it wasn't over until it was over. I forget what finals it was. I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to Google it. But it was, I forget, it may have been the 85 finals or whatever, or 87 or something like that. And he went ahead and Bird got a shot in the corner, and Pat Riley said he's looking at it and it looked like it was going in and it hit the back of the rim. And he was like, thank God, like, because Bird was just that dangerous. So, you know, LeBron has that effect. He has that Tom Brady effect where it's like you don't ever think it's over until the clock says zero. If the time 11 o'clock, it's a chance LeBron's going to make something happen. So the next few games, the pace is going to be physical. He better be ready. They better be ready to get it over with, you know, get it done. Hopefully they can close it out and they can kind of advance to the next round, which is going to be exciting to see. When they make it to the next round. So I can't wait, man. It's going to be exciting. They're waiting for the winner, Toronto or Washington. You know, all I can say about that, Toronto better wake up. They're giving away leads. They were up 17, end up giving away the lead. Washington isn't a typical 8 seed. You know, they were off because, you know, John Wall missed a bunch of time with that surgery and so forth. But they're for real. You know, they better come out tonight and kind of make a statement. If not, it's going to be close, man. You don't want to go back and be that 8 seed, that 1 seed that loses to an 8. So we'll see how that works out. Playoffs have been great so far. I've not been disappointed. A little, you know, it's been a lot of upsets in a sense where, not a lot, but it's just a fact. I'm surprised Utah's up 3-1. I'm surprised, you know, Portland swept New Orleans. It's just crazy. It was that everything's happening the way it's been happening right now. Let's slide over to college basketball for a little bit. You know, some changes have been made in college basketball. We see that the one and done rule is possibly getting tossed out in 2020. Controversial rule. A lot of people aren't really too fond of it. Nobody's really been fond of it. A lot of people just felt like it was unfair to these kids that can go out there and they can do this and they can do that, but they can't declare for the draft. You know, and it's a big deal. Like, if a kid can go to war, why the hell can he declare for the NBA draft? That made no sense to me. It made no sense to a lot of people, but I mean, that's just kind of the way it goes. And it's kind of what it was. And they can, you know, they can control things like that. So right now, you know, you got this new college basketball committee headed by Condoleezza Rice, and she's up there trying to make some changes. And that's one of the things, you know, they're trying to sit down with the NBA and the Players Association and things like that. And they're going to make the current rule, you know, they're going to get rid of the current rule where a kid has to go to school for you, obviously. A lot of people that watch basketball realize that there was never a real rule in which you felt like, hey, the kid has to go to college for you. It didn't make any sense. It's like, why go if a kid's good enough? You know, you look at these kids this year. You look at Marvin Bagley. You know, you look at him. Did he have to go to school this year? I don't think so. I mean, I think he probably could have gone pro. You look at Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant really didn't have to go to school. It's just kind of crazy. You know, these guys really didn't have to be there. It was just a waste of a year. You know, but in some cases they needed it. In some cases they didn't. But I think if a player has a skill set, a player feels like he can go, let him go. It's his journey. You know, why not give the kid an opportunity to go to school? I mean, you never know what can happen. Yeah, we look from the outside in. It's like, if the kid's going to make it, he's going to go to school for you and dominate. What happens if he steps on somebody's foot the wrong way and it shatters, his knee shatters? He comes down the wrong way. You know, he breaks a bone. He's never the same no more. You know, you're never going to be the same prospect that you once were. You see what happens. I mean, one bad injury can change everything. So don't derail things like that. Let a kid get in there and get his time, make his money, and then go from there. That's just the way I see it. So it's great. And speaking on that commission with college basketball, you know, Condoleezza Rice, they're in there trying to shake things up. So I don't really have a lot of details right now. Bleacher Report had a lot more details, and it goes in a little bit more. It goes a little bit more in depth about things. But they're trying to ban cheaters for life if they have any major violations. And, you know, just kind of catching a glimpse of what First Take said today. They said something along the lines of the NBA and college basketball need to work together in unison as far as a coach getting banned from college, which normally happens. He goes to the NBA and gets a job. He's a great assistant there, does whatever he does, spends his time in the NBA, which isn't a bad thing to do anyway. You know, as an assistant or whatever, working in the NBA, that's a dream job for most. And, you know, you kind of get to live that life for a little bit. And then you can go back to college after your time is up, or you can go back and finagle yourself into other positions somehow, some way. So it's saying, like, if they get banned from college basketball, it needs to be trickled up to the NBA where they can't work in coaching at all. So it's kind of like, if you do something on one level, let it affect you on the other level as well. And I, you know, I think it might be good. You know, I don't know if it'll help change the game up if cheaters are stopped. You know, college basketball is just dirty, so we all know how that goes. But, you know, with this committee, they need to find a way to get the kids more money. You know, maybe that entice kids to say, okay, well, I can go to school for a little bit, you know, for a year or so, if I'm getting this, if I'm getting that. You know, because you hear about these deals that are being done, $100,000 to this kid's family, $50,000 to this person, and this guy in the third. Stories that I hear are just ridiculous. Like, you need to have $30,000, $40,000 just to sit down and talk to a kid's family. So it's going to be hard to clean all that up, especially with the street agents and so forth like that. It's just a dirty, dirty game out there. But if you want to get the machine behind it, you want to try to push things in the right direction. We definitely got something moving. You know, we definitely got something here. So that'll be good. Please eliminate that damn one and done rule. It'll get tossed out by 2020. So it's one more draft class. That'll be the following year. And then after that, all other kids can probably go and live their lives. So we know how that goes. I know a lot of people are sitting there like licking their chops, like, please. A lot of those kids in that 2020 class that are good and top prospects, like, please let it happen. You know what I mean? NFL draft is tomorrow. I don't really have a lot on the NFL draft because there's been so much going on. You know, what I do have is probably what everybody else is seeing. Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen will probably go number one. Class is loaded, a lot of talent, you know, quarterback rich class. You got Saquon Barkley, you know, so it's just one of those things, man. You got a lot of talent in this class. But I have one thing that I saw pop up today. It's some criticism of Lamar Jackson. You know, I'm a quote from an article that came up in Bleacher Report. It says an unnamed NFL offensive coordinator said University of Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson won't stick around at the position throughout his NFL career. On Tuesday, Tom Pelissero of NFL.com passed along comments from coaches and scouts about the top quarterback prospects, and one was quick to shoot down Jackson's potential as a passer. I quote, "He's an awesome athlete. He will not be able to play quarterback in his league, mark my words," the offensive coordinator said. When he throws, he hopes. Jackson faced questions about a possible switch to wide receiver at the NFL Scouting Combine in March. The Cardinals standout replied, saying he's strictly a quarterback and won't be interested in playing for a team that won him to change roles. Let's check this out. 21-year-old Florida native completed 57% of his throws. Of course, you love your quarterback to throw in the mid-60s or whatever the case may be, right? 9,043 yards, 69 touchdowns, and 27 interceptions in 38 games in 3 years at Louisville. He also added 4,132 rushing yards and 50 scores on the ground, and he won a Heisman Trophy, right? Let me say this, you know, before I get off of this. It kills me that a black quarterback's an athlete. You know, he's labeled this way. You know, well, like, it's tough because you hear that. This dude went out there and won the highest. He won the highest award that you can win in college football. He went out there and he was, I mean, he had a great season. Hell, they started off when they upset Florida State and they kept rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. I don't get the criticism of a black quarterback. Why does a black quarterback have to switch? Are they telling Baker Mayfield or Josh Allen to switch positions? Or Sam Darnold? Is anybody else asking, you know, they asking anybody else to switch their positions? I don't think they are. So that's the disheartening thing about this thing. People are doing this nonsense, this BS. And it's like, please, like, let the kid be. If he doesn't succeed, so be it. You know what I mean? Like, if he doesn't succeed, so be it. But it was like, look, and I love this dude, so I hate that I even have to say this, but shit, look at Tim Tebow. You mean to tell me Tim Tebow looked better than Lamar Jackson did in college? I mean, he may have thrown for, you know, may have had better accuracy, but anybody that I know that knows football was like, nah, you knew that was going to happen the way it happened. You know? And I get it. Tim Tebow didn't want to be anything else but a quarterback either. They didn't switch to fullback. He didn't want to do it, but I get it. Tim Tebow, I just had to throw him out there because he was the guy that everybody, he got tons of chances. You know, yeah, he had that, he led Denver, you know, in that little nice playoff victory his first year, and they got that wild card victory and so forth, and then things just changed for him after that, right? Because Peyton Manning became available, and we all know you don't pass on Peyton Manning, but that's neither here nor there. Let Lamar Jackson get into the NFL and do his thing. Let him prosper. If he fails, God forbid he fails. But God dang, they giving up on the kid already? And these are probably some of the same people that want to pass on Antonio Brown. You know, guys like that. Guys who would pick way out of position, you know, pick way down the line, but ended up being who they are. You know, shit, look at Tom Brady. He was picked in the sixth round, right? Because, oh, he was slow. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. Tom Brady's probably the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, right? So a lot of these dudes aren't always correct. Just because you're an offensive coordinator in the league, that doesn't make it correct. It doesn't make your assessment correct. The dude threw for 9,000 yards, 69 touchdowns, and 27 interceptions in 38 games, right? He won a Heisman Trophy. Let the dude live, man. Listen, he's a dual threat. I get it. Like, he doesn't play like Tom Brady. We get that he's not going to be Tom Brady. He's different. He's more Michael Vick, obviously, than he is Tom Brady or anybody else. But don't shit on the kid before he can get a chance to prove himself. That's what I hate about these scouts. You're throwing dirt on the kid's name. He doesn't have any. He doesn't have a bunch of kids. He didn't get caught. He didn't fail any drug tests. He didn't get any caught in any cheating scandals. You know, like all these other dudes were getting caught and doing other things. Not in this class, but, you know, in years past, you had players come in that didn't necessarily look like him, but a lot of this shit falls under the radar. You know? I mean, Baker Mayfield is great. Josh Allen is great, but would you take a guy that played at Louisville? Would you rather take a guy that played at Wyoming? Now, he may be good because, hell, Carson Wentz, they went to these no-name schools and we didn't know about it, and then they just happened to be great quarterbacks. And I get it. That's an NFL scout's job to find these dudes. But come on, man. Like, don't down a kid like that because he's not what you want. Hell, he may get with the right system and he might just flourish. And, you know, this unnamed guy, who I hate when they do that, unnamed sources, they don't ever put their name behind it. He'll be the same guy praising him on the record. So it's kind of crappy, man. Let me get off that. Let me just slide over to some Major League Baseball news. Baseball season's not – it's underway. You know, things happening. You know, we don't really have much to report in the division leagues. You know, got a few teams out in front doing some things. But I was going to talk about Albert Pujols real quick. You know, his pursuit of 3,000, seven hits away. Great player. Always been fun to watch. You know, that's why he earned the nickname The Machine, because he was just so unstoppable. The guy always came to the plate, got a hit when you needed it, hit a home run when you needed a momentum shift. You know, two rings to St. Louis. When he, you know, he's not the player he once was. When he came over to Los Angeles, he wasn't the same. You know, he just really looked different. Didn't really have the same pop on the ball. Hasn't hit more than 280 since he's been over in LA. He's just been different, man. It's just a different feel. But I love watching him still on the verge of history. I don't know how much he has left, but it's definitely gonna be great to see him reach this milestone. You know, I don't know what's left after this. I don't know if, you know, he's a DH now, so it's obvious, it's well deserved. But you know, he's definitely not the same guy he once was, man. And let me take that back. 285 is the highest batting average he's had in Los Angeles. So we're not accustomed to seeing that. A lot of his numbers are down across the board, on-base percentage and so forth and things of that nature. But that doesn't diminish who he actually is and who he actually was, what his record will be when you look back historically over his numbers and how great he is. And, you know, 618 home runs, 305 career batting average, you know, 2,993 hits. He'll, you know, he's over 3,000. Obviously, first ballot Hall of Famer. You know, his next milestone, obviously, I'd love to see if he can kind of get to 700 home runs. So that'll be awesome. If he's 82 away, how many years he has left. You know, Albert is, what, 38? I don't know if he can play to 40, 41, primarily as a DH. We'll see, but it's definitely great to see him, you know, get this recognition. I kind of wish he would have stayed in one place, you know, because the hype and everything before him, you know, he was being talked about in the same breath as Sam Musial. Now, everybody who watches baseball knows anything about baseball. Sam Musial is the man with St. Louis. You know, everybody loves him. Everybody continuously loved him. And, you know, he looked at Albert Pujols as like the second coming to him. But, you know, Albert had different plans, you know, and it's hard to turn down a contract that Los Angeles threw at him. So money's money. I think he got two rings. It's like, I got my two championships. I got the stats, this, that, and the third. Let me go ahead. So, you know, we got to look forward to that. And a little bit of history was made. I'm kind of partial about this, Jenny Kavanaugh. Let's talk about her for a little bit. You know, she's been working with MLB for 12 years. And Monday night, you know, she's the first woman since 93 to do a play-by-play in a big league telecast. To quote Jenny Kavanaugh, she said, "I'm very excited about tonight." She told MLB Thomas Harden, "I'm really honored about the historical context of it, but I'm more excited about the team effort. We have such a great team of broadcasters, producers, directors, so it'll be really fun to collaborate with them and do a game tonight." You know, she joins a prestigious group of women that includes Gail Gardner. Gardner was the first female play-by-play announcer on a Major League telecast with the Major League team when she called the Rockies Red game in 93. Then you got Susan Waldman. She does occasional play-by-play for the Yankees on the radio. Then you got Jessica Mendoza, who joined the ESPN team for color commentary during Sunday Night Baseball. I'll say this, right, real quick before I end this segment. Women, like, for some reason, it's great, right? You know, Jenny Kavanaugh's been working with Major League Baseball for 12 years. And, you know, I look at everything, too, as far as how women go. Right? I saw Candace Parker the other day. She had a shirt and it said female athlete. It was the female had a line across it, right? Like, let's do better in showing them love. I get it from the historical aspect of it and just for record's sake, it's like you got to put these things out there. But it's like 2018. We shouldn't be really making a big deal about a woman doing a telecast and doing these things. Like, do we not think women are capable of looking at sports like the way we see sports? Do we think women aren't, you know, do we think women are inferior to us as far as sports knowledge goes? I highly doubt that. Like, just not, like, I hate the fact that everything gets praised so much. Like, oh, God, like, this is that. And I'm not saying this in a negative way. I'm saying it from the standpoint of, like, yo, Jenny is joining us tonight. It's normal. It is what it is, man. Like, I hate the fact that it's such, like, separation. Like, oh, is a woman doing this? A woman doing that? I say all this to say, like, stop acting like they're not capable of doing what we do. It's annoying as all hell. They're more than capable of doing what we do, if not more. You know what I mean? Like, please, man, give these ladies their props. Like, a lot of women have done a lot of things that go, you know, get swept under the rug. And I get it. We got to put this out there. We got to give them props. But it's like, look, man, it's a woman. She deserves to be here just as much as the guy deserves to be here. Just because he pissed in the major leagues doesn't make him a better color commentator than she is. You know, because Dallas Braden was in the booth with her. And I get it. Like, he knows the game. So you want to have that. You want to have that. That angle, like the pitcher's angle, the guy that was in who played the game, but hell, like she's working with MLB for 12 years. She knows her stuff. It just gets me mad. So I bring this stuff up. And I know it's something that may not even resonate with some people, but look, I feel this way about it. This is how I feel. This is what I think. I think she should be given more props. Nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? But shout out to Jenny for doing what she's doing, making history. You know, much love for that. So all I really have for today. Really wanted to get back at it, man. But thank you for tuning into today's episode. I always tell you guys, man, thank you for the support. No matter how much, how big or how small, the support is definitely welcome. Thank you so, so much. You know, I'd like to give a shout out to my guy Cal over at All Things Hoops. You know, kind of sitting there covering everything from street basketball, high school, everything on up to the NBA, man. Go follow him on Instagram at allthings_hoops. I want to shout out to my dudes, Ron Sue and K. Jamal, who run a new podcast titled A Game Podcast. Go follow them on Instagram at @A_game podcast, where they're covering a game. They're covering basketball. They dig in deep and cover a lot of guys, you know, from New York City, a lot of guys, a lot of point guards, a lot of guys you may have forgotten about. They try to dig in deep and kind of, you know, gravitate towards the guys that, you know, real hardcore fans know and the mainstream fans may not know. They kind of bring their personalities back up just to kind of put their name back out there again. So, you know, go show them some love. Can't forget my show sponsor, you know, Troy Manson Signature Socks. Thank you for keeping me laced. Appreciate the love. You know, and that's all I have for now, you know. Until next time, this is your boy Jamal Bolton. I'm out for the Jamal Bolton Show, and I'll speak with you guys soon. Peace.